In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, in addition to being Holy Thursday, is the feast of Saint Hermenegild. Saint Hermenegild is perhaps obscure to you, but he is classified as a Eucharistic martyr. He was the son of the King of Spain in the 5th century, who would not accept the Arianism of this Visigothic tribe that had invaded Spain, but professed the Orthodox true faith. And his father was furious with him and wanted him to accept the false faith, and imprisoned him, put him in chains until he would accept the false faith, until finally killed him, ordered him slain for his refusal of the false faith. But he is a Eucharistic martyr. What did he do or refuse to do with regard to the Holy Eucharist? Was it that his father wanted him to trample on the Holy Eucharist or to spit upon it? No. Was it that he was being offered an invalid Holy Eucharist from an invalid minister? No. It was simply this, that his father said, if you will merely accept Holy Communion from an Arian bishop, I will let you out of prison, I will permit you to inherit the kingdom. That's all. But Saint Hermenegild refused categorically to receive communion from this heretical minister. And he is therefore a Eucharistic martyr for the single reason that he would not defile the Eucharist as it is a sign of the unity of the Catholic Church. For we know of the Eucharist as the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. We know of the Eucharist as it is a sacrifice, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But do we also recall that its special signification as a sacrament is the unity of the Catholic Church? And so for Saint Hermenegild to receive this sacred sign of the unity of the Catholic Church from someone who was detached from the Catholic Church because of his heresy was the same thing as to trample upon the Blessed Eucharist or to spit upon it. And he was right. And for that reason, he is upon our altars as a Eucharistic martyr of the Catholic Church. The Holy Eucharist, as you know from your catechism, is the body of Christ. It is, therefore, everything that Christ is. Body, blood, soul, and divinity, because his soul and divinity and his blood cannot be separated from Christ as he is now gloriously reigning in heaven. Therefore, the Holy Eucharist has the unity of the sacred body of Christ, which is united to the soul, divinity, and blood of Christ. Therefore, the Eucharist has also the unity of the mystical body of Christ, which is the Holy Catholic Church, the extension of Christ by means of the special relationship of the members to Christ as the head. The unity of the mystical body of Christ, the Holy Catholic Church, which are one and the same, is the principal heresy of our time. As St. Hermenegild had to resist Arianism, and as the holy saints of the 16th century had to resist Protestantism, so we must resist this assault on the unity of the body of Christ, which comes to us in the form of ecumenism, and which destroys as its first victim the unity of the church. For how can you do ecumenism? How can you go to Protestants and schismatics and to Muslims and Jews and say to them that your religion has a certain value and we are in partial communion with you and that your religion is a means of salvation unless you destroy the unity of the Catholic Church? How can you say to them that we have anything to do with you unless you destroy this sacred doctrine that the Roman Catholic Church is the mystical body of Christ? It is the unique means of salvation in the world. It is the only way to save your soul, and anything outside of it, whether the Greek Orthodox, whether the Protestants, whether the Jews, the Muslims, the Buddhists, everything outside of it is falsehood, is darkness, is confusion, and is a means only of damnation. And so the first victim of this evil doctrine, which Pope Pius XI called tantamount to the abandonment of the religion revealed by God, this evil doctrine, its first victim was the unity of the Catholic Church. Christ, as you know, is the head of the Catholic Church. He is the invisible head, the Pope being the visible head. The way that we enter the Catholic Church and therefore unity with Christ and his mystical body is by the Holy Sacrament of Baptism. And this Holy Sacrament of Baptism requires the profession of faith. It requires, in order to have its effect of uniting you to Christ, that you have interior faith. Indeed, your baptism may be valid, but if you do not have interior faith, the effect of uniting you to Christ in his mystical body is blocked until such time as you profess the faith. And so the profession of the true faith is your ticket to the church, and heresy is your ticket outside of the church. And this union with Christ as the head of the church, which is the mystical body, creates a relation which we call communion. It is the relationship of unity with Christ as the head and with other members of the church who are united with him. This is communion. And this brings us to the heresy of partial communion. The modernists have offered to us this idea, which comes from the depths of Protestantism, that in order to preserve their ecumenism, they say that we are in partial communion with the Greek Orthodox, with the Protestants, with other heretical and even apostatical sects. This doctrine is, first of all, absurd, and it is also heretical. It is absurd. It is as absurd as saying to someone, "I am partially married to my spouse." Or if someone were unfaithful to his or her spouse, He said, well, I committed adultery partially. Or if you had a child and you said, my child is partially human. Or if you presented a lady to someone and said, this is my mother partially. And these statements are absurd because the very nature of marriage is complete and total fidelity. The very nature of adultery is to destroy completely the fidelity of marriage. Then the nature of man cannot be divided or cut up, nor can your mother be cut up. She is either completely your mother or not your mother. And so this relationship of Christ to the members of the church, the mystical body, cannot be cut up. It is something that demands perfect unity or nothing at all. It is heretical because precisely the unity of Christ's body does not admit of division. Because it is based on the unity of faith and the submission to the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, which is an extension of his own authority. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth shall be bound also in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose upon earth shall be loosed also in heaven. And so it is absolutely required for us to be members of the Catholic Church, members of the mystical body, part of the body of which Christ is the head. It is absolutely required that we be submitted to the hierarchy of the Catholic Church. And for that reason, schism divides us from Christ, it divides us from his mystical body, it divides us from the Church. And there is no partial communion with them. Heresy, likewise, divides us from Christ even more deeply than schism does. And therefore, those who profess heresies, such as the Lutherans and the Episcopalians, those whose religions are based on the darkness of heresy, have no part with Christ, have no part with his church, are not members of the mystical body. They are bands of heretics that do not even deserve the name of church. That is the doctrine of the Catholic Church. And this heresy of partial communion ruins that doctrine. It is heretical. It is contrary to what we say in the Creed, I believe in one church. Our blessed Lord said, I am the truth. And he said in his most solemn statement to Pilate, I have come into this world to witness unto the truth. And St. Paul said, the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. If partial communion is true, then we must change these statements to, I am confusion and darkness and indifference. And I have come to witness unto confusion and darkness and indifference, and that the church is the pillar and ground of confusion, darkness, and indifference. This doctrine of partial communion is an attack upon the incarnation and the redemption itself. The incarnation, because of the intimate unity of the divinity with the sacred humanity of Christ. If you attack his mystical body, if you admit division in his mystical body, then you must go to the source and admit division in Christ himself. And the redemption, because by his blood he has purchased for himself a holy and immaculate church. And if you admit the filth of schism and the filth of heresy into what Christ has bought, you attack the very redemption. You attack what Christ Himself has merited on the cross. During the Arian heresy, during the 4th century, the Emperor Constantius, who was a heretic and who placed heretical bishops throughout the empire, decided to exile the Pope from Rome because he would not go along with the Arian heresy. And in his place, he put someone by the name of Felix. And the Roman clergy and populace said they would not accept Felix. And why would they not accept Felix? Was he an Arian? No, he was a Catholic. They told the emperor that the unique reason why they would not accept Felix is that he was in communion with the Arians. Essentially, that by his communion with these heretics, by his maintaining an ecclesiastical relationship with these heretics, he ruins the unity of the Catholic Church, the unity of the mystical body of Christ, the very unity of Christ Himself. The Holy Eucharist is the sacred sign of unity of the Catholic Church. It must be offered by a Catholic priest. It must be offered upon a Catholic altar, one consecrated by the Catholic Church and used by the Catholic Church for its Catholic rites. It must be offered within a Catholic rite, Catholic ceremonies approved by the Church and manifesting all of the truths of the Catholic faith. It must be administered by a Catholic priest or bishop. It must be received by a Catholic. If any of these things should be lacking, it is a grave offense to the Holy Eucharist, a serious sacrilege to this most holy possession of the Church, God Himself on our altars. If one of those things should be lacking, because it is to desecrate the sacred sign of the unity of the Catholic Church. Those who are resisting the changes of Vatican II have, to a great extent, lost sight of this truth. You read in the papers, you hear rumors, which are founded in truth, that the Society of St. Pius X wants to return to the modernists and be recognized by the modernists, to be a side chapel of tradition in the modernist cathedral. You have seen perhaps many of your friends go to the Indult Mass. We priests have seen people who have been in the pews, as you are today, for many, many years, who have heard sermons like this that I am giving today, and who now go to the Indult Mass, the Mass in communion with heretics, a Mass which is in most cases invalid because of the invalidity of the priests who offer them. They are going to these things. They are giving up the battle. They are doing what St. Hermenegild refused to do and accepted brutal martyrdom for his refusal. They are now doing this very thing. Are we going to take these 40 years of resistance and throw it away in an act of shameful infidelity to the unity of Christ's church? Are we going to take these 40 years and capitulate and do something which is horrid in the sight of Christ and in the sight of the holy fathers of the church, in the sight of the martyrs, and capitulate to the modernists? Are we going to bend the knee to this man who was, along with Schillebecks and Congar and Rahner, one of the prime movers of Vatican II, a radical liberal and modernist, and call him the vicar of Christ on earth, and offer the Mass in union with him? Are we going to enter into a communion with heretics, which is to destroy the very nature of Christ's body? I say no, no, never, never. Saint Hermenegild, pray for us that we never do this. For it is the same as to trample upon the body of Christ. For we cannot separate the Holy Eucharist from his mystical body. So as Bishop Dolan today raises the host for our adoration as the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we celebrate today with such joy in the midst of the sorrow of this Holy Week, as he raises it for us to see by the eyes of our faith everything that it is, the truth of it, let us not miss the fact that it is the sign of the inalienable and sacred unity of our Lord's Catholic and Roman Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.